something is going to work out against hope. I heard the story about these two individuals, Jed and Sam, and they saw this sign that said there was a great reward if somebody would bring back 1,000 wolves alive. And they were bounty hunters, and they said, "Oh, we can do that." And so they went day after day, and they thought of the great reward that they would get for bringing these 1,000 wolves, and they searched day and night without any success. And finally, after a couple days, it got a little cold. It was about evening, and they decided that they were going to lay down and take a rest and get back up the next day and continue to go look for the wolves so they could find these 1,000 wolves and collect this money and be rich. And they both fell asleep. And Jed woke up. And when he woke up, there were 100 wolves standing around him, eyes peering at him, teeth snarling, looking like they were getting ready to devour the both of them. And Jed said, "Sam, wake up. We're rich." See, you got to have hope. You got to have hope against hope. When there's no hope, you still got to have hope. That brother had a lot of hope.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Where's Your Faith? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Where's Your Faith?
That when you have a difficult time trusting me for these things, he said, "Oh, you of little faith, little faith." Where are you? No faith, little faith. That you can halfway trust God for some things, that you've got a little bit of faith to be able to trust God, but you don't have that great faith or that strong faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And then the third faith that we talked about last week, And I love this right here, and you can write this down, or if you have the notes, you can refer to it later. But in 1 Thessalonians, notice I said 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says to the people, he says, "Night and day we pray exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is," listen to this, "which is lacking in your faith." What was Paul's prayer? Paul prayed for the people at Thessalonica that the Lord would perfect whatever it was that was lacking in their faith. Whatever area they struggled with trusting God, whatever area they had a difficult time exercising faith, Paul said, "Wherever you are lacking in your faith, I'm praying for you." And then he writes, after 1 Thessalonians, he writes 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," listen to this, "because your faith grows exceedingly." Amen. He prayed for their faith, that whatever was lacking, he prayed that God would make it up. Then he writes another letter back to him and says that, "I thank God that your faith is growing." No faith, little faith. How about you? Do you have a growing faith? Oh, would to God that we had a growing faith, that our faith is a little bit further along this year than it was last year. You know what? If we weren't dealing with this situation right now, you know, what would we do? I mean, ministry would continue on. People would still be able to serve God and exercise their gifts. All that would still happen. But look at what God is doing. God is saying, look, and I was sharing with the people yesterday at the leadership meeting that I remember when there was nothing across the street. There was absolutely nothing across the street, and the saints would come out and they would walk around that area and just pray and just pray. And now you look over there and there's a gym, classrooms, offices. Oh, that's, but that was nothing at one point. Some saints saw something there. They saw something over there. And you know, so God got us through that. You know what? Now we've got to increase our faith a little bit more. You know, you can't live on last year's faith. You can't live on faith in the past. Man, you've got to trust God for some fresh ideas, some fresh movement, a fresh movement. You got to trust God because he's doing something new, because he's working the situation out. And God put you in a place because he said, yeah, that faith was great back then when you trusted me for the Bethany Center. But now we're moving out. Now we're stepping out. Now we're moving ahead. And you know what? That faith back then was good. And you can look at that faith as an example, as a motivation, as something to help you. But where we're going now, you need a new faith. You need an increasing faith. God is saying that we need to increase our faith, an increasing faith. How about in your personal life? You know, sometimes we get so caught up and dependent upon the world system that we are so tied into the system of the world that we are missing out this whole idea and this whole concept of having to reach out and trust God and to hold on to his unchanging hand. We're missing out on that. Oh, would to God that he would put us in our own individual lives where we have to look back and we have to say, God, unless you do something, God, unless you work, God, unless you intercede, this thing is not going to happen. This is not going to work. And what is God doing? God is at that point, he is increasing your faith, increasing faith, no faith, little faith, increasing faith. Then we talked about great faith. And we gave the illustration of the lady who asked Jesus if he would come heal her daughter. And Jesus told her, he said, how can I give the meat to the dogs? You know, that the meat is for the children. Which just sounds, man, that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard what Jesus said. Wow, Jesus, that was deep. This lady coming to you, asking you to do, as a matter of fact, the scripture says when she first asked him that Jesus didn't even answer. He just kept going. And it said she kept crying. And she, you can read in the notes, we talked about her persistence and things of that nature. But she kept crying to Jesus. And the disciples said, look, let's dismiss her and just send her away. And Jesus said, no, we can't do that. And so he dealt with her issue. And he said, I can't give, it's not fit to give the meat, you know, for the children to the dogs. She said, oh, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the table. and you know what? Some people might be trusting God, you know, for the meat. And they might say, you know, we want the meat. You know, we want the $10 million edifice. That's the meat. You know, some people say, well, look, you know, God, we just need a crumb. We just need you to drop a crumb. We're just trying to get a fellowship hall, God. Yeah. We just need a crumb, God. Yo, yeah, if you bless us with some meat, if you drop some T-bones or some round eyes out of the sky, we'll eat them to the glory of God. But God, if you just give us a crumb of Wonder Bread, we'll take that, Lord, and we'll build on that. All we need is a crumb. You know, and Jesus told the lady, he said, I've not seen so great faith, not even in Israel, a great faith. No faith, little faith, increasing faith, great faith. Let me conclude this morning with the life of Abraham. So turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And now we're going to look at strong faith. Strong faith. And it says in verse 18 of Romans, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham was strong in faith. And the first thing we see that Abraham believed in hope when there was no hope. He says here, who against hope believed in hope. It was just like me, just like Pastor Glaze. Last Sunday night, the second half of the Steelers game, I believed in hope. man's hope. I was telling somebody, I said, man, you know what? I still, in that second half, when they went down there and drove the ball down and scored, I said, you know what, man? I knew that they were going. I knew they were going to come back. And the person I was talking to, come on, man, why don't you get real? Why don't you get real? They was beat from the very beginning. I said, man, but I had hope against hope. And Abraham, when there was no reason to hope, when there was no, the man was beyond seed production, reproduction. His wife's womb was dead. Wasn't, excuse my English, wasn't nothing happening there. And against all hope, he had hope. In the middle of a devastating situation, even in the fourth quarter, man, they can still do it, man. Come on, Big Ben, you can, oh, yeah. You got to have hope against hope. If you want a strong faith brings you down to the reality when all hope is gone that you still believe that something is going to work out against hope. I heard the story about these two individuals, Jed and Sam, and they were they saw this sign that said there was a great reward if somebody would bring back 1,000 wolves alive. And they were bounty hunters, and they said, oh, we can do that. And so they went day after day, and they thought of the great reward that they would get for bringing these 1,000 wolves, and they searched day and night without any success. And finally, after a couple days, it got a little cold. It was about evening, and they decided that they were going to lay down and take a rest and get back up the next day and continue to go look for the wolves so they could find these 1,000 wolves and collect this money and be rich. And they both fell asleep, and Jed woke up. And when he woke up, there were 100 wolves standing around him, eyes peering at him, teeth snarling, looking like they were getting ready to devour the both of them. And Jed said, Sam, wake up. We're rich. See, you got to have hope. You got to have hope against hope. When there's no hope, you still got to have hope. That brother had a lot of hope. In the midst of a dire situation, in the midst of a drastic circumstances, man, you still got to keep on believing. You got to still believe that God is able and that God can do it. I'm going to tell you what, I've seen it happen too many times in my life. Man, me and my wife could sit down and tell you story after story how God miraculously provided when there was no hope. Man, I tell you what, I got some testimony. I got some stories of how God made a way out of no way. I remember when Jonathan was born, and I was getting ready to graduate from seminary, and my wife had spent all this time. We almost got divorced about 3 times because she was typing my thesis, and guess what? We didn't have a computer, so you know when you had to go back and retype the whole page. And I remember when the day that I was graduating. And Jonathan was due to be born. And my wife went into labor that morning. Man, she was in labor. And I guess she said to herself, you know, I'd have been through this Negro through all this. I'm gonna walk him walk across that stage. And she saw me graduate. And that afternoon, that evening, she went to the hospital and delivered our child. But, you know, just the faith that she had, to, you know, to stick with me through all that and then, you know, to see me graduate. Man, I tell you what, you know, just you know, in the midst of situations when it seems like there's no hope, you know, you got to keep on having hope and you got to keep on believing that God is able. Look at this. Abraham, it says, look at verse 19. It says, who being not weak in faith, not weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. That he believed that God was able. And you know, when you're not weak in faith, that means that you are putting your faith in God. You're not putting your faith in yourself. You know, he was not, the next point says that he was not discouraged by his own limitations. He was not weak in faith. And see, faith, you know, when you have faith, you know, you got to grab that thing. You know, you got to embrace it and believe that God is able. Now, I've got a calculator. Now, I believe that this calculator can add 5 plus 5. I believe that. Bam! Blank screen. But I still believe, I believe that that calculator can add 5 plus 5. Blank screen. I believe this calculator can add 5 plus 5. There you go. 10. See, it didn't function until I acted upon it. It didn't function until I acted upon it. Saints, you know, Joshua, God said, look, I'm going to take you across the Jordan River. He said, now, this was the flood stage. I don't know if you've ever seen flood waters. I remember one time, the place where I worked at was on an island, and the river flooded. And I remember going and just seeing that flood just washing. Man, big barrels just floating down the stream, big trees going down the stream. I mean, it was intimidating to sit there and watch flood waters. And the Bible said that this was the time that the Jordan flood its banks. And God said that when you step into the water, then I'm going to begin to hold it back. When you step in, don't wait for the water to slow down. Don't wait for the water to subside. You just go ahead and step in. And it said when they step in, when the priests stepped in, that they stepped out on dry land. See, you've got to act on the faith. You know, we've got to act on it. You know, if God is who he says he is, which I believe that God is who he said he is. You know, either we need to believe that or we need to just close up shop and all go our separate ways. But we got to keep on believing, man, that God is able. Abraham was not weak in faith. What is the characteristic of a strong faith? To believe in hope when there's no hope. To believe without having a weak faith, and to believe and not be discouraged by your own limitations. He was not discouraged by his own. Well, you know, God, we only got so many people. We only got so many members. We can only do so much. You can't put boundaries on God. You can't limit God. Look what it says here. It says 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't let his limitations. Well, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that. But God got it, brother. God got it, sister. You know, we limit ourselves sometimes. It's just like the guy that I heard, you know, who went fishing. And, man, he was he was catching, man, these big fish. He was catching big fish after big fish. And, man, he was the kind of guy that, you know, he liked to cook fish and eat it. But he kept throwing the big ones back. Kept throwing them back. And somebody said to him, man, you catching the big fish. Why you keep throwing the big fish back? He said, pulled out his frying pan. He said, because they won't fit in here. You know, sometimes, man, we try to put God in our box. We try to get God in our frying. We try to get God in our frying pan. Man, God is bigger than our frying pan. You know, he's larger than that. And Abraham did not look at his own limitations. He was not discouraged by his own limitations. There was a house that was on fire, and smoke was everywhere. And the little boy was up on the roof, and his dad said, jump, jump. He said, but I can't see you, Dad. The dad said, but I can see you. You know, God sees us. God sees us. And if we jump out, We might not be able to see, but God can see us. Don't let the limitations of our finiteness keep us from doing what God would have us to do. He says in verse 20, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham put his faith in the promise of God. Standing on the promises of God, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Is that your testimony today? Standing on the promises of God. Oh, during an especially hard time, during the China Inland Missions, who Hudson Taylor was the head of, he wrote a letter to his wife, and he said this: we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. We got 25 cents and all the promises of God. Man, the promises of God. And it says here that he didn't stagger. He didn't stagger at the promise. You know, he didn't take a hit by Mike Tyson and buckle under. But he was strong and he stood up. He did, and this idea of staggering means that, you know, you believe in now and, well, I don't know. You know, you believe it, well, I don't know. You know, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith. That you, his faith just took him right through that situation. His faith took him right through that obstacle that he was going through because he was strong in faith. If he'd have been weak in faith, he'd have been backing up and moving ahead, moving this way and moving that way and moving ahead and moving back. But it said that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And so often we step out there and things don't happen the way that we think they should or when we think they should. And then we all of a sudden lose faith. We all of a sudden lose heart. But God is still in control. He hasn't gone anywhere. Last time I got on my knees and checked, he was still on the throne in heaven. Last time I looked in the book of Revelation, he was still on the throne. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so what, even though our circumstances might seem dire and our situation might seem desperate, that there's a God who's still on the throne. And we need to not stagger at the promises of God. Now, I shared last week, some young people in here getting ready to go to college. You don't know how in the world you're going to pay for that tuition. But you know that God wants you to do this thing. Don't stagger. You know what? I've heard testimony after testimony of people right here in this church, how their children have gone to college and come through. God worked things out. God made a way. He did it for somebody else. He's going to do it for you. Amen. Don't stagger at the promise. Don't limit yourself by your own finiteness, but see an infinite God and see that he's able to do it. Where's your faith at today? No faith, little faith, growing faith, great faith, strong faith. Where are you at today? Where's your faith?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Where's Your Faith, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Where's Your Faith, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Where's Your Faith. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Where's Your Faith. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24032, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Once again, their website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Paul. You don't have to be tossed in the story of life. Your soul can be anchored.